Hey, Matt LeBlanc here. Recently, a report came out regarding independent cinemas and how they're doing, and it didn't paint a very pretty picture. So we reached out to the Strand owner, Mark Rapley, just to chat about how the Strand is doing, how independent cinemas are doing. Mark, I know you're well aware of this report. Can you just elaborate on that as how local independent cinemas are doing?
Sure. Well, the context of that is that NICE, which is Network of Independent Canadian Exhibitors, they commissioned a report. We participated in it because we're a member. And they basically asked, it's been 3 and a bit years, how you doing? And more than half said, we ended last year in a deficit. The unspoken sort of postscript to that is that for the 3 years prior, everybody ended the year in a deficit. So we're on the path to recovery, but the situation we face now is that there is a real uncertainty, especially for independent cinemas, about what the next 4 to 5 years will hold and whether many of us will be here to see the next 4 or 5 years.
And not to have people worried or to give them too much confidence in the other way, I guess, but how is the Strand doing?
We would, I think, be slightly on the side of feeling maybe more comfortable than average. There's a couple things to play into that, which I'll touch on later. Keep in mind the phrases zones and clean runs. So those two things help the Strand be in a slightly better position than the rest, but we remain as worried as the rest of the NICE members because we are a collective, and independent cinema in Canada works if there are only a critical mass of us alive and around to differentiate and provide the unique value that independent cinemas provide.
Now, there's lots of big cinemas that exist out there. Why is it important? Why would you say it's important for people to support small independent cinemas like the Strand?
Of course. Well, a big multiplex exists to take your money. A small independent cinema exists to give you value. And that's maybe two sides of the same coin, but the side that we look at is we are a part of the community. We live here. We have always lived here. And putting something in our community that prevents you from having to drive, let's say, an hour just to go see a movie, that's really meaningful for us. And also meaningful for us is offering people a value-oriented experience where you can feel like your hard-earned money is actually getting you something that's worth the time, worth the investment that you're putting into it. That's super important to us. And independent cinemas tend to do that better than large multiplexes.
Now, I saw a post that you did on Facebook regarding Dune 2. You talked about how a lot of major chains jack up the price prior to big movies coming out, and that's not something that's done here. And it actually got a lot of traction online. Can you just comment on that?
No, our philosophy on surge pricing is that if there's a movie that's more popular than another and we are anticipating bigger attendance than for another movie, that's great. That means we sell out, and we're happy to do so at the ticket price that we've always charged. I think this idea of viewing movie experiences in a similar fashion as a sporting event or a concert event, I think that's a fundamental misunderstanding of what the movies are supposed to be. They are supposed to be casual, spur of the moment, if you will. Hey, we've got a couple hours on a Wednesday night. Let's go see a movie. It's meant to just be one of those regular things that you get to go and do that adds value and adds just a little something different to the day. And that's really where movies shine.
So from like behind the scenes point of view, people come in, they pay $10 to see a movie. You aren't obviously pocketing that $10 admission fee.
Of course, of course. On a $10 movie ticket, we are keeping way, way, way less than half. It varies a little bit depending on the age of the movie, and we'll get better terms on something that's 12 or 16 weeks old. But the flip side of that is that if a movie's 12 or 16 weeks old by the time we get it, we are really looking at the very, very far end of the diminishing returns curve on how many people will come and see it and how many people haven't seen it yet. So there's a bit of a discrepancy between a day one blockbuster release like Barbie last year. We gave away a lot of that ticket to the studio. Rightfully so, it was a blockbuster on day one, and where we benefited was being able to show it on day one and to have a really big crowd in the cinema for really weeks on end last summer. So there's a spectrum, and one of the things that's really important for us to note here is that it's more about the number of people coming through the door. We're not looking to test the upper limits on how much people are willing to pay for a ticket and popcorn and pop and so forth. We leave that to the multiplexes. We're focused on delivering an experience that is good value for the money, and we hope that in turn people will look at that in a similar fashion and say, this experience is good value for our money, so we're going to go do it more frequently.
That kind of leads into a discussion that we actually had when we started to leave the pandemic, it was about the importance of concession stands at theaters and why you make the choices you do to have the concession stand options at the Strand.
What we're doing there, and I don't think it's any secret, but I'll say it anyway, cinemas make their profit at concession stands. So what we are trying to do is strike the balance between value-oriented pricing, just the same way we do on tickets, but also in recognition of the fact that this is where we are going to cover our costs. This is the thing, just like with all independent cinemas, this is the thing that keeps us viable now and into the future. So as much as there's discussion about, is it worth it for this? I mean, I would submit the opposite. I can't eat one of our large popcorns. It's just too big of a portion for me. And it's priced way less than an equivalent meal, even at a fast food restaurant, if you look at it size-wise or calorie-wise or however you wish to measure it. The thing that we always come back to is value-oriented pricing. And that's what I think small independent cinemas do much, much better than large multiplexes.
I would imagine, too, that having a cinema like this locally would be beneficial when it comes to broadening people's horizons, I'd say, like offering them a relatively cheap way to see a movie that they may not otherwise see. I saw Dune, the original one, but the one that came out a few years ago when it first came to the Strand, because a friend of mine wanted to go. I knew nothing about it, and I just thought, it's worth a try, and I ended up loving it. I just saw Dune 2, so, I mean, it really does give people a way to try new things.
Exactly. One of the things I think about a lot is that movies and the experience of going to a movie needs to be a fundamentally different thing than going to a sporting event or going to a live concert. Last year, we heard about people paying hundreds and hundreds of dollars to go see Taylor Swift live. And of course, that's a much different experience than watching her movie on the big screen. But that's part of the lane that cinemas need to be in and that movies need to be in. It is about de-risking and providing you the opportunity to say, I spent a few dollars, I spent $10 going to a movie, and it wasn't the best movie I ever saw, but I went somewhere and I did something, and if it all goes to plan, you probably went with your family or you went with your friends, and you had a shared experience together. And what the last few years have taught us, as we see people walk through the door and the way they talk about their experience, their time at the movies, shared experiences are incredibly meaningful. When we lost the ability to have shared experiences, we all, I think, really suffered as a result. And now that we can do this again, I think what independent cinemas are asking in particular is our prices are value-oriented, so make the decision to walk through our door.
And I want to talk, too, about some of your post-pandemic decisions at the Strand, because you have some like unique events that you're putting on. Like, I know you'll have the biggest superhero blockbusters at the Strand, obviously, but you seem to be really leaning into these niche or unique kind of experiences.
Absolutely. This is one of the things that's really important to us. This is a cultural option. And maybe it's a little silly to look at a movie like Barbie or like Kung Fu Panda 4, which is playing right now, and say, this is a real cultural experience. Well, no, it isn't. Those are the things that allow cinemas to keep operating and then to do the things that we feel are actually culturally significant and culturally valuable in the traditional sense of that word. I would like to run down our schedule for April because there is a ton going on and all of it fits into that category of alternative content, things that are meant to make you think a little bit that would enrich the experience of actually being there together. So in April, we are showing the documentary 500 Days in the Wild, which is the story of the Canadian filmmaker Diane Whelan, who went across all 24,000 plus kilometers of the Trans-Canada Trail on foot and on water in some cases. April 7th and 8th, we've got three different show times. And then the following week, we're partnering with the Simcoe Lynn Valley Lions on April 15th to show the documentary Us and Them, which is an exploration of homelessness. That's a very, very timely documentary given what's going on right now. There's also going to be a discussion panel after the screening. Then on April 14th and 21st, we've got our film series and our spotlight series, two curated series with kind of complementary aims just to broaden the type of content we bring. We will be showing One Life, starring Anthony Hopkins, and Killers of the Flower Moon, which, despite being out on streaming, is out on one of the least accessible streaming platforms that exists today. And so we feel there is still a really, really strong argument to be made for seeing it in the cinema. It's a fascinating, really arresting film. Then on April 20th, we're hosting the Youth Film Challenge. That's Saturday, April 20th, as part of the Norfolk County Public Library's Watch Local Week celebrations. And then following that, April 28th, in partnership with Roots to Roots Film Festival, we are screening Alfred Hitchcock's Rear Window, and there's going to be a discussion panel after that. So all of these events come together to really encapsulate and embody the thing that we feel we are here to do, which is to give you an option on a Friday night if you just want to go watch a blockbuster and turn your brain off, but also to contribute to the discussion, to, in some cases, facilitate the discussion about film, about art, about culture, about some of the really pressing, salient issues that exist in our community, where we live, where we work, today, right now.
I always ask this at the end of the interview, but is there anything that you wanted to touch on that I didn't touch on that you thought people might find important?
Well, I think one of the things that is sometimes difficult to communicate to an individual patron that walks through the door is that we're kind of at the mercy of forces out of our control. Things like clean runs, things like zones, which were referenced in the coverage that the NICE report got recently, those things are out of our control, and changing them is going to require legislation at the federal level in this country. So in some sense, it's counterproductive to focus on that. That's not something that we at the Strand can fix ourselves. Never. It's not going to happen. What we focus on is we would like people to know and to think about this kind of thing. Make the decision to walk through our doors. It's a relatively inexpensive way to get out and go do something, and the stakes are pretty low. If you happen to not love the movie and to think it's not maybe not the best movie ever made, you have risked relatively little in exchange for being able to go out and do something. So we ask our patrons to kind of think about it in that way. We also ask for people to support the alternative stuff that we're doing, all the fantastic things that are happening in April at the Strand. Even just coming out to one of those makes a huge difference in our ability to keep doing things like that. And then third, we're really trying to grow our audience on Facebook. Everything that we're doing, we're putting summary information on Facebook. It's a great way to stay informed. And growing our audience on Facebook is one of the things that will help us gain more exposure, not just in the local community, but beyond. This week in particular, I've been fielding lots of phone calls from people who are as far west as London who want to come see the documentary 500 Days in the Wild. And they're finding out because it's on Facebook. It's listed as a showtime on the movie's website. So these things matter. They are meaningful. And it's one of the ways that you can help your local cinema be here next year and 5, 10, 15, 20 years down the road.
Thank you so much for stopping by.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.